My name is Brendan. I serve here as a pastoral apprentice. Today we're going to continue our short series through the Psalms. And last week, Joshua preached through Psalm 13, which is a psalm of lament. Today, our psalm is Psalm 40. So go ahead and turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40 is categorized as a thanksgiving psalm, which means that this is the kind of psalm that we would sing together in a worship service, praising God for what he has done. So let's look together at Psalm 40 and then we'll pray together. To the choir master, a psalm of David. Just real quick, to the choir master. That would be like to Sonny, a psalm of David. That's the context. This is a song sung in the worship service. So let's keep going. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He withdrew me up. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock. Making my steps secure, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, and he does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering, you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch my life away. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. But as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you. We come to you reading your word. We pray that your word would go deep within us. Lord, we are grateful that you would send Jesus to accomplish what this psalm says, that you would deliver us up from the pit. Holy Spirit, that you would come and apply this work to us. So Lord, we pray that as we read, that we would see Jesus, we would see your deliverance, we would see your salvation. And Lord, we would not see a burden that is too heavy, but a burden that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that your word would go forth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 40 is a thanksgiving psalm, and King David is giving thanks to God for delivering him from a pit. And we don't actually know the particular context of this because David has a lot of times that he needs deliverance. But as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a really popular story and another character who's in a pit. In Dark Knight Rises, Bruce Wayne finds himself defeated by the villain named Bane. Bane literally breaks his back, throws him into a pit. And when we're talking about a pit, we're not talking about a small little like water well. We're talking about the size of a city with hundreds or even thousands of people. And Bruce, as his back heals, we're introduced to a ledge. And we see that the way out of this pit is a ledge, and there's a harness, because many try, and so far in the story, we know none who have made it out of this pit. And so Bruce climbs the wall, and he puts the harness around himself, and then he jumps, and he fails. He doesn't make it to that second ledge. And if Batman can't make it out of this pit, what hope is there for anyone else in that pit? No hope. Good. I'm glad you're seeing that. Well, eventually Bruce learns that the secret to getting out of this pit is not that he needed to be strong enough, but that he needed to face his fear, take off the harness, and just go full send and leap. And that's what he does. He makes the leap. The people cheer, and the movie continues as Batman goes to battle Bane in Gotham City. Is that how we should think of this pit of destruction here? Is David saying that you just need to be a little stronger? Maybe you need to face a fear of yours, and then you're going to make it out of this pit? Absolutely not. David, king of Israel, who's known for defeating a giant named Goliath. And when he gets home, there's a song sung, and it says that Saul has struck down his thousands and David his tens of thousands. If anyone could have enough strength, if anyone could have enough authority or ability, it is King David. But David here at the beginning of this psalm declares in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog, and he set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. Do you see here the utter inability of David? David is in a pit of destruction and a miry bog, and his only course of action is to wait on the Lord. Because if God does not deliver David from the pit of destruction, then David remains there, hopeless. Have you ever found yourself in that kind of pit? The pit where God has to do something, and he's the only one that could ever save you from a pit of destruction. The kind of pit that we're talking about is the chasm that acts between, it acts as the chasm between you and God. This is the pit of your own doing. The kind of pit of destruction is a pit from your own sin. And you, like David, need deliverance. So who do you turn to? And children, can I get your attention? A couple weeks ago, I asked Abner a question. I asked Abner, I said, if you find yourself in a pickle, Abner, who do you turn to? And he tells me, it depends on the kind of pickle. And to be honest, I don't think Abner understood. I think he might have been thinking of like dill pickle, or I don't know anything about pickles. But I want to ask you, have you ever fallen, Abner and Orin? Have you ever fallen and you can't get up? Or maybe you're hurt and you're in need of help. Who do you cry out to? I'm assuming the answer is going to be mama or papa. But I want to tell you that there's a need that you have. There's a situation that you guys have found yourself in that your mama and your papa cannot help you out of. Each of you have sinned against God. And when you find yourself in that pit of sin, do you know who you can cry out to save you? Look at verse 1 with me. I think this helps answer our question. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. Our psalm tells us that who we need to cry out to is God. God is the one who saves David from the pit of destruction. And God hears his people. The way that this is understood is that it's as though God knelt down to his people. Thinking about how big God is and how much a child needs, when a child's hurting, you don't stand and look down at them. You get down on their level. And God has got down and kneeled down to hear his people. So children, did you know that you can cry out to God and that he hears you? Believer, do you remember when you found yourself in this kind of pit? Do you remember how you felt? Never able to grasp your way out. Everything that you did, you just fell deeper into the miry bog. You were enslaved to sin. How did God save you from this pit? Look at verse 2. He, that's God. God, he drew me up from the pit of destruction. This is the kind of pit that you cannot climb your way out. It's not like Bruce Wayne who puts on the harness and he jumps. It's not even when he takes it off and he tries his very best. It's not to get stronger. And it's not to face a fear. But so often I think that we believe we can get out of this pit on our own. You try to be a good person. You come to church and everyone thinks that your life is put together. But our psalm tells us that God does not care about the external practices of going through those motions. God desires a truly changed heart. Jump down to verse 6 with me. In sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. The idea there is that he's literally hollowed out your ear. He has made it so that you hear him. Burnt offering and sin offering, you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. Your sin is so great that no form of burnt offering or sacrifice could ever save you. The only thing that God delights in is found in verse 8, that I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within me. A perfect life is what is required. It is the only thing that the Lord delights in that can bring you up from this pit. And yet, you are not good enough. So while David declares these words, we should see in this psalm that it points to a future son of David who will perfectly keep the law. If you've read your Bible at all, you know that David is not a perfect king. But he has a son who comes from his line, and this is Jesus. Jesus who came and he lived that perfect life. It's Jesus who's born into a sinful world, and yet he keeps God's law all of the time. It's this Jesus who would go to the cross, who would go into the pit but the pit could not hold him. It is because of your disobedience that Jesus would jump into this pit to deliver you. And this arm that's described that he drew me up, that's the arm of Jesus. And that means that you stop trying to jump your way out of the pit, that you stop trying to climb your way out. And you stop thinking that you're too good for help. In Christian terms, what we're talking about here is repentance and faith. Placing your faith in Jesus means that instead of trying to climb out of the pit, you believe that Jesus has done everything for you and he delivers you from the pit. And repentance means that you turn away from your sins and you turn to God. Okay, so I gave you a lot of context. That's not even a point. But I think that context was really important for us understanding this Psalm of Thanksgiving. And so I want us to look at the psalm, and we're going to give thanks in light of this context. There's a fairly clear division, I think, in this text. So we're going to have two main points. The first 10 verses, we are called to speak of God's deliverance. Verses 11 through 17, cry out to God in your time of needs. So two verbal commands here. Speak of God's deliverance and cry out to God in your time of need. Let's look at that first point. Speak of God's deliverance. After David is delivered up from the pit, he says in verse 2 that he drew me up out of the pit, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Having been delivered from the pit, David is placed on a rock, given a song, and given an audience. And David doesn't keep this news to himself. You might think that David, king of Israel, might be worried that people might judge him for being in this pit. They might think that he's weird or out of his mind. He might feel worried about his reputation. But if David had kept this deliverance a secret, we wouldn't have Psalm 40. But we do. And so we know that David writes a song and then he sings this of God's deliverance. And I want you to see that those who hear David's song of deliverance don't put their trust in David. They're not really impressed by David and his ability because David couldn't ever get out of the pit. It says that many see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Do you know that your testimony has that kind of power? You each have a story of God's deliverance, and you should not be ashamed of your past sin because you're not the main point of this story. God is. And when people hear of God saving, of God delivering people, maybe they see people who are just like them. They see, they hear, they fear, and they put their trust in God. And some of you don't have a crazy story, and that's okay too. You don't have to go into the deep wounds of your childhood to make the point about God. You just have to proclaim how God delivered you from the pit. And maybe some of you here have a story of deliverance that's not just about your story of your salvation. Maybe you have a deliverance from a sin. You have a deliverance from a sickness or anything that glorifies God. and the goodness of God. Look at verse 4 with me. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O my Lord, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim them, yet they are more than can be told. If you've experienced the wondrous deeds of the Lord or his thoughts towards you, you should share them. You should not hide them from your children, from your neighbor, from your coworker. Tell them and bring those stories of deliverance and share them in our prayer hour. After the service, we're going to sing, and you should sing a song of deliverance of how God has delivered his people. I'd encourage you to share these stories with one another. And on our fourth Sunday, we have a time of corporate sharing. I would encourage you to tell us of what the Lord has done in your life. I want you to see this in our text, that you are encouraged to speak of these things in the great congregation. Look at verse 9. I have told the good news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips. As you know, O Lord, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. God calls us in his word to declare his deliverance. Remember, David is king of Israel. And he might feel the pressure to be perfect, to not have any flaws, to not have a pit, and to always be happy. And yet David speaks of these things, of his time in the pit, because he knows that God gets glory from doing this. And so maybe you find yourself in a particular pit right now. You feel the pressure to be thought of as a good person. And if you find yourself in this place, come and confess to one another. Why? Because God gets glory when he delivers people from the pit. And if you have a story of deliverance, don't hide it either. Be like David and declare how God has brought you up out of the pit. So that was our first point. Speak of God's deliverance. Before we transition to our second point, to cry out to God in your time of need, I just want to help you see how this works. David is writing this actually in a pit. He's speaking of God delivering him from a pit, and you can see that in the last verse. He says, "As for me, I'm poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. You are my help and deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." David is in the midst of a pit, and he is crying out for God to deliver him while he's also reminding himself of God's past deliverance. And so I believe here that when we remind each other of our deliverance, when God delivers us, I believe that that will lead us to continually cry out to God to deliver us. Because when we cry out to God to deliver us, he delivers us, and then we can praise him for delivering us, and then, you see, that's like a cycle. Okay, so let's look at the second half of our psalm, and our second point here is to cry out to God in the time of need. Most stories begin, the way that most stories would have done this is, okay, I'm in a pit, God, you've delivered me from the pit. But that's not how our psalm does this. Our psalm starts with, Lord, you have delivered me, and Lord, I am now in a pit. But that's what life is like. David isn't saying here that he's lost his salvation, that he needs God to save him again. This is more like the actual pits of life, the little pits of a bad mood, or a time when you've given in to sinful temptation or family situation. It's not a pit of destruction. This is more, and I don't want to minimize these pits, but it's more like a pothole than a pit. And this is where David writes Psalm 40 in the midst of a difficult situation in need of God to help and deliver him. And we're reminded that God, in verse 11, does not withhold his mercy. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. And we learn that God allows us to fall into these situations of life. A few weeks ago, I shared a video with Joshua, and then he decided to steal it in one of his sermons. For those who haven't heard it, it's okay. You get to hear it. For those who have, you're just going to hear the same thing again. So there's a video of a sheep, and he's stuck in a little ravine. And the shepherds gather around. You can hear the sheep is crying out for help. And the shepherds come and they take him out. And they set him on a solid ground. And then you start to see the sheep bounce and bounce. And then he jumps across the ravine and falls back into that pit. Isn't that life? Isn't that life that you find yourself delivered from one pit and then find yourself in another? Life doesn't always get easier, but what remains true in these moments is that God delivers his people. And I asked that question earlier, children, who do you turn to in your time of need? I want to tell you who David turns to. David turns to God. Who do you turn to? I'll just be honest here. I have a tendency to try to fix things on my own and not tell anyone. Anyone else like that? Or maybe that you've experienced the pit of this life so much that you've just decided that you're going to decorate. You're just so used to being in this pit, so why don't you just get comfortable? Or maybe you love to tell people of all of your problems. You love to tell people of all the things that are happening, but you don't work to address them. Maybe there's confession, but there's no action. David here is in need of saving. The kinds of things we don't know, he might be running from people, or maybe it's the consequences of sin. Either way, David needs help, and so who does he turn to? Look back again at verse 13 with me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And now jump down to verse 16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord makes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. David cries out in his time of need to God. Even though he is poor and needy, he reminds himself that God takes thought of him and that he hears his cry, that God is your help and your deliverer. So that's our call to action, to cry out to God to deliver us when we are in the pit. He is willing and he is able to deliver. But I want to really quickly go back to verse 1 and read that again. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry. In the midst of being in this pit, David reminds himself and us that God inclines his ear, that he hears you. No matter how far you are, no matter how long you've waited, God inclines his ear. So cry out to God, for he is your help and deliverer. Today we've seen one great gospel truth, that God delivers from the pit. We've been given two verbal commands, to speak of God's deliverance and to cry out to God in our time of need. So my challenge this week for all of you is to find yourself, that when you find yourself in your time of need, take a second and pray for help. And next week, come prepared to tell us of the stories of deliverance, from the seemingly small things to the large things. Let's worship God even more next week. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for delivering us from the pit of destruction. Thank you for delivering those whom you have called to yourself. Lord, we pray now that if there's anyone here who finds themselves in that pit of destruction, that they would stop trying to get themselves out. Stop trying to be a better person, to fix those little flaws. But Lord, that they would see and humble themselves like the King of Israel did. That they would humble themselves and ask God that you would save them. Lord, we pray also for those who find themselves in these little pits of life. Pray, Lord, that we would cry out to you. Deliver us. You are able, you are willing, but even if you don't, Lord, we know that you are good. So we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.